thank you so much, choir and orchestra. You know, just as we saw in the video before the special music today, there's a girl there gardening, and there are certain things we can do to encourage growth. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. Just like the girl in the video, we saw her working the dirt. Now, dirt is dirt, but there are certain things that we can do to the condition of that dirt that will support growth. And the same is true in the life of the child of God. We need to make sure that our soul, the soil of our soul, is in condition so that we can grow in the way that God intended for us to grow. And there are certain things that we can do to encourage that growth and to make sure that we have good ground to grow on. And Jesus talked about that over in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. I hope that you'll take your Bible now and turn with me there to the first book in the New Testament and find the 13th chapter and the third verse. If you've not brought your Bible with you today, just reach right in front of you, get one of those pew Bibles and turn with us there to page number 1126, and you'll find yourself at our text for the day. That is Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. And I encourage you to keep your Bible open on your lap at your side as my sermon and its points will be coming from this text. Well, let's look there at verse 3 of Matthew chapter 13. And it says there, "Then he," speaking of Jesus, "spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow.'" Now, what did he go out to sow? He went out to sow the Word of God, this book right here. And, you know, the Bible says in James 1:21 that we should receive the Word, the seed of God's Word, implanted because it's able to save our souls. And it is my prayer today that if this book right here has never been implanted into your hearts, that it will be today. And if you've never been saved, that the truth of God's Word will be so rooted in your life this morning that you will respond to Jesus' offer of salvation by faith. But there's a problem with sowing this Word, the seed of this Word. Whenever the Bible says there in verse 3 that a sower went out to sow, it's talking about the kind of sowing they did in Bible days. It wasn't like a nice, neat row in your backyard garden where you have a row of green beans and over here you have a row of potatoes and over here you have a row of tomatoes and over here you have a row of onions. It wasn't that kind of sowing that Jesus was talking about. He was talking about broadcast sowing, where a sower would reach into a bag with a handful of seeds and he would indiscriminately just throw those seeds all over the place, just broadcasting that sowing of seed. And that's exactly what I do here every Sunday morning in this building. I just take the seed of God's Word and I just throw it out here and it falls upon whoever it falls. And so the condition of some people's hearts, the soil of their soul, will determine whether they're able to receive that seed or not. I sow that seed as we broadcast this message on TV, as it's going through live streaming video right now into distant places all over the world, and then later this week on our archived internet videos of the sermon. It just goes to all kinds of hearers, all categories of hearers. And how they respond to that seed that is sown is based on the condition of their heart. And Jesus looked at the condition of his hearers when he told this parable, and he compared four kinds of hearers to four kinds of soil. I want us to look at that first soil. It's described in verse 4, and it's a hardened soil. So the hardened dirt here in verse 4 represents, for your notes, the unresponsive hearer. And I pray that you are not in this category today. Let's read together, you silently and I aloud, from verse 4. It says, Jesus speaking, "As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside," your Bible might say path or road, and the birds came and devoured them. Why is this ground so hard? Because it's on a road. It's on a pathway. It's on a wayside where people walk up and down, and animals and carts go up and down this pathway, this road, this wayside, and it compacts the soil so much that it is hardened. And that's the condition of many people's hearts today as this word is going out. It cannot penetrate their soul because it is so impervious to the planting of God's word because it has been hardened. Just like that road and that path have been hardened by someone that's gone along just walking on that pathway. And some people here this morning, you've been trampled down by other people. Maybe in your home, maybe in your family, maybe at work, maybe even by so-called friends. They have just walked all over your life. And what used to be a soft, pliable heart is now hardened. Maybe it's not people trampling on your life, but it's situations in your life that have just created a real hard heart in your life. And the seed of God, as it's being broadcast into your life today, it just bounces off of you. You're unresponsive. You're not like that person we talked about last week. Remember, we were in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and we were talking about the process for growth and how it all begins with tribulation. You remember I told you what that word tribulation means in the original language of the Bible? It's the same word that was used by winemakers in Bible days who would crush grapes with their feet and olives, and the olive of that, they would tread upon them. They would give them tribulation so that the juice of joy and the oil of gladness might come out. But the person that has a hardened heart does not respond the way that Romans 5 says that we need to respond when tribulation comes into our life, and letting that produce perseverance, and then that produce character, and then finally that hope. When a person that has a hardened heart experiences tribulation and hurt and suffering and affliction in their life, boy, their heart gets as hard as an adamant stone. And the last thing they're going to respond to is the Word of God. And so here comes somebody like me today. It doesn't have to be me, but somebody that has the Word of God in their hand, and they open it up and they read it and they throw that seed out there on whatever soil, whatever hearer might hear it. And their heart is so hard that they're totally unresponsive, unmoved, insensitive to what God is trying to say to them so that they can grow and produce as a believer. A lot of us aren't too happy with the way our lawns look right now. Maybe your lawn's looking a little yellow or a little brown. And if you were to have a lawn expert come out and look at your yard, he or she would look at it and they'd make certain recommendations. And if your soil was really compacted, really hard, this is the recommendation that they would make to you, that you have your lawn aerated. And that means they'll bring some heavy equipment to your house that has little spikes on it, a roller with little spikes, and they'll run it over every inch of your soil, and it will penetrate your soil so that there will now be openness. There will be holes in your yard so that it now can receive air, so that it can receive water, so they can receive nutrients from the atmosphere so that your lawn might grow again. And that's what a lot of us need to happen in our lives today. We are so hardened. We are so insensitive that we need a spiritual aeration so that God's word can get into the soil of our soul and can take root, and we can start growing and producing for God's honor and for His glory. Now, the worst part about all of this is this person that has the hardened heart, that just has that seed bounce off the soil of their soul, has that seed laying there for the devil to just take that opportunity away. And we read about that in verse 19. Skip over verse 19 where Jesus explains verse 4. He says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside," or the path, or the road. We don't want to be like that. We want to grow spiritually. Now, there's a second category of soil that is mentioned here in verses 5 and 6. Look there in verse 5. Jesus says, "Some fell on stony or rocky places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth." And just like Jesus did for verse 4, he explained it in verse 19. Now he explains this verse, and he goes on in verse 6. Look at verse 6. He says, "But when the sun came up, they were scorched because they had no root and they withered away." Now to see Jesus' explanation, go where we left off reading after verse 19, verse 20. It says, "But he who received the seed on stony or rocky places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution come because of the word, immediately he stumbles," or "he falls away." You see, this believer, or actually maybe not even a believer, comes to a service like this and the preacher gets up and he spreads the word of God. But because this person is so shallow, they have no depth in their soul. And there are too many rocks there for them to be able to have that seed take root in their soul. Now what it'll do in any shallow ground is it will immediately spring up and it will start showing promising growth. But then when the sun comes, when hard times come, man, it says, "This isn't what I bargained for." They had an emotional experience, man. They came to service, they got excited, they responded with joy, they responded with pure emotion. But then they go out and they have to face Monday morning and say, "Wow, this really doesn't work for me." And they say, "I'm not going back to any of that. I'm not going to have that seed implanted in me anymore." You know, that happens so many times to so many people that I know. They don't have the depth to receive what God wants them to receive. And so many people are out there today, they don't want to go deep in the Word of God. They say, "Man, just keep it shallow for me, please. I don't have to think too much. Just keep it superficial. Keep it on the surface for me and I'll be just fine." No, you won't. Because when Monday morning rolls around and what had such promising growth comes and the sun of persecution scorches you, you're going to fall away. And that happens so often. And I hope it doesn't happen to you today. Now, there's a third kind of soil. And for your notes, it's the thorny soil. Now, thorny soil represents the materialistic hearer. And I want you to see that there in verse 7. It says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them." This represents materialism. You say, "Well, I don't see that there, preacher." Well, you have to see Jesus' explanation. And so let's go where we left off reading at the end of verse 21 and look at verse 22. And that explains this thorny soil. It says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." You see what's happening in this guy's life? He is so consumed with the material things of this world that when his materialism grows alongside this seed that's been planted in his life, the thorns of that worldliness choke out any potential growth and maturity that is offered from the planting of the Word of God. This person is so consumed with things. Think about their possessions. They don't possess their possessions. Their possessions possess them. And that's a problem when it comes to trying to grow and develop spiritually. You can't do it when you're more consumed with your interest rates and your stocks and bonds and how the market is doing. And all those are important things. I don't mean to say they aren't. But if that is your first love, if the things of this world are your first love, you will not grow spiritually. God needs to be your first love. Then you can grow and develop and produce in the way that God wants you to produce. Now, the fourth kind of soil is the only good kind of soil. And I hope this describes you today. And for your notes, good ground represents a productive hearer. And to read about that, look with me there in verse 8. It says, "But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now to see the explanation of Jesus about what this good ground represents, look there at where we left off reading at verse 23. Look at verse 23. "But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold." You see what happens whenever you come to a service like this and you hear the word of God and that seed comes into your life, and the soil of your soul is so good, it's not rocky, it's not thorny, it's not compacted and hardened, but it takes root in your life. It is inevitable that you will produce fruit. And here's the amazing thing about this. It talks about the different kinds of yield that this fruit would produce. In ancient Palestine, an average crop produced an 8-fold yield. So even the smallest number here in verse 8, a 30-fold yield, would be supernatural. And here's the point. God produces supernatural fruit in our life that we could never produce on our own. It's only as we do what he told us to do in John chapter 15, and that is abide in him and his word abide in us, that we will produce much fruit. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to see Jesus producing fruit in the good soil of the life of a believer who is open to his word and who is growing from his word. Which leads us to ask the question, okay, well, what made this soil so good? The same thing that makes any soil good, and that is cultivation. When I was a boy growing up in Texas, my mother decided she wanted to have a large vegetable garden. And so my job every year was to take a shovel and to go out to this patch of ground and to go down as deep as I could with that shovel and then turn the dirt over, to till the dirt, to cultivate the dirt. And every time I did that in that hard Texas soil, it loosened the soil. So now that the soil that had been loosened could receive nutrients like nitrogen from the atmosphere, and it could be richer. But not only that, every time I took that shovel and I turned that dirt clod over, it exposed roots of a weed, and I would by hand remove each one of those weed roots so that it would not interfere with future growth in that garden. Now we moved here to Noonan, and Amy decided she wanted to have a vegetable garden. And Ellen Bell heard about it, and so he asked if he could bring over his rotary tiller to our house and plow up the patch of ground that she had already chosen. And so he brought his rotary tiller over and did a beautiful job breaking this hard Georgia clay up for our first garden. And the amazing thing to us was when I got home from work that day to see all the rocks that were scattered outside the garden, because as Alan tilled up that earth, it exposed all kinds of rocks. And so he was able to, by hand, throw those rocks outside that tilled garden. We thought, well, that's all the rocks we'll ever have to deal with in this patch of ground. And so we bought a rotary tiller just like Alan had. And we went and we tilled it up next year. And you know, we had the same amount of rocks come out of that garden the next year. And we thought, well, it's surely done. The third year did the same thing. And I don't know where all these rocks came from, but they still had as many rocks in that ground. This is what tilling the ground, what plowing the ground does. Any gardener knows this. Any farmer knows this. That as ground is cultivated, as it is tilled, as it is turned, it takes care of that hard, compacted soil. It takes care of that rocky soil, and it takes care of that soil that is full of weeds and full of thorns. The first three types of soil that are mentioned in this parable. And so, my friend, if you're having a problem receiving God's word today because you're unresponsive, because you're shallow, because you're materialistic, here's what needs to happen to the soil of your soul. It needs to be tilled. It needs to be plowed. It needs to be cultivated. There's a scripture I want you to see about Israel. Israel was unrepentant, living in sin in Jeremiah's day. And God spoke through the prophet and said, "Break up your fallow, unplowed ground, and do not sow among the thorns." Israel, you've got a problem. Your heart is hard. Your heart is unrepentant. You're shallow, and you've been sowing amongst the thorns. And so here's how I'm going to make the soil of your soul productive once again. What was once fruitless, I'm going to make fruitful. But it's not going to happen until you allow the soil of your heart to be plowed. And that's hurtful. I mean, it unsettles things. It stirs things up. It turns things upside down. But that's what needs to happen for the Word of God to take root in your life. It's interesting, almost this same exact verse is mentioned by Hosea the prophet in Hosea 10, verse 12. He says, "Break up your fallow, unplowed ground." He was speaking to unrepentant Israel. So hard, so thorny, so shallow. He says, "Break up your fallow, unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." Oh, dear friend, this morning, in this worship service, we need to do the same thing that Jeremiah said Israel needed to do and Hosea said Israel needed to do. If you want to receive the word of God today and you don't want it to bounce off your life or be choked out by materialism or just lay there in a shallow depth because of no depth in your life, then you need to pray that the Holy Spirit would come with his plow right now and till up the soil of your soul. Many of you are feeling that right now. You're feeling that blade of conviction by the Holy Spirit just plowing through your heart right now. And what was once hard, what was once shallow, what was once materialistic, is now being turned upside down. It's being stirred up, and boy, that's a humbling process. I know firsthand. It happens to me quite regularly. But it's a good thing, because then I experience God's renewal. Then I experience God's reformation. I experience God's revival. And when I come to a service like this, the seed just doesn't bounce off of me. But it gets into me, and it makes a difference. I pray that your heart would be so cultivated by the Holy Spirit today, that it would be so plowed by the Holy Spirit today, by his conviction, that you could not leave this place the same way you were when you came into it. But this is what it'll take. I'll just be honest with you. You're going to have to yield to God and say, God, here's the soil of my soul. Do whatever you want to do with it to get me to the place that I'm growing and I'm producing for you. That could happen right here today as we bow our heads together. Oh, dear God, I just want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for how He is using His plow to cut a path through our souls today. He is convicting hearts today. And even though this is a humbling process and a painful process, dear God, we pray that you do whatever you need to do to the soil of our soul so that what was once fruitless can now be productive for your honor and glory. Father, I pray for that soul that might be here today who has never trusted you as Lord and Savior. And your seed has been thrown out there into that person's heart, and the Holy Spirit is plowing a place for that seed to take root. I pray that they would receive you as their Savior and Lord. Father, for that believer who's been trampled down by other people, by painful situations in their life, I pray that they would not harden their heart. But Father, that their heart would be soft and pliable, made that way by your Holy Spirit so that they can start growing once again. And Father, as you do all these things in our heart and in our lives today, as you bring forth that fruit, we have no other choice but to give you all the glory because you're the only one that can do it. Father, I pray for those that need a church home. I pray for those that need other Christian friends who will encourage them in their growth for you. And Father, as you lead those people into the life of this church today, we'll give you the praise for it. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.